for the benefit of those with flash photography.
Yo!
Shock the system.
What's up, guys? Welcome to DreamWork. As always, I am your host, Colin Delaney. In a moment, I will be joined by my co-host and tag team partner, Cheech. And yeah, welcome to DreamWork. Each week here on DreamWork, me and Cheech break down a tag team from the history of professional wrestling and talk about what made them so great. This week, as you probably already read, it is Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. I chose to just label it that because, I mean, while yes, they have been the undisputed era for the past couple years. Before that, they were Red Dragon. So some people know them as that. I know them as that. I refer to them as Red Dragon. Undisputed Era feels like it's the whole group, right? So they should have their own discerning tag team name. And I understand they can't use Red Dragon because that was a Ring of Honor thing or a New Japan thing or just a them thing. But I mean, something like it, maybe? Question mark? Like, I don't know, a color and an animal combo? Right? Like, they could have been Yellow Wasp. Or, Yellow Wasp is honestly all I got. So, Yellow Wasp. They wear yellow? I think I nailed it. So, this week we're talking about Yellow Wasp. I'm just kidding. It's the Undisputed Era. It is Bobby Fish. It is Kyle O'Reilly. And it is coming at you right now. Boom.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, you know, not a whole lot, man. You excited for this week?
I am.
It is it's definitely the most personal week we've done so far, I believe.
Right, I was definitely thinking that. I was like, wow, this is one of those ones where it's like a whole different level of discussion.
Yeah, because I mean, while we ourselves have never wrestled the Red Dragon or the Undisputed Era, whatever you choose to call them, we've both definitely wrestled Bobby Fish, and you, in fact, trained with Bobby Fish.
Yeah, it was, as I was watching the matches this week, I was like, oh, wow, it's weird. I was like his training partner. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in most schools, there's usually someone who starts around the same time you do, and you guys go through it all together. That was me and him. So it's really cool watching him do all this cool stuff.
Yeah, man. He slept on my parents' couch.
Yeah. Good old Bobby.
When we were all young lads, but he was probably already 30.
Yep, definitely was.
I don't know why I have this thing. Like, I'm getting older, but I love to take shots at people who are older. It's like, it's I can't help myself.
Well, yeah, because there's getting fewer and fewer.
Yeah. Like, any chance I get to make a Brody Lee is 100 years old joke, I take it.
Yeah, I understand it now. You used to hear all the old timers do it, and you're like, whatever. They all just seem the same to you. But it's like now, when you're one of them, you're like, oh no. There's a big difference between 16 years and 17 years in the business.
Yeah, you leave that door open just a crack, and I am hopping through.
Yes, indeed. But yeah, even right. Think about it. Like, this team, Red Dragon, like on the national scene, somewhat new. But like, think how long we've known them, and they've been wrestling just as long as we have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Bobby is the more experienced of the two, and he's got the same amount as us. And Kyle's shortly behind him in experience.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, Red Dragon, Undisputed Era, whatever you choose to call them. It kind of irritates me that on NXT they don't call them anything but just Undisputed Era.
I know, because I feel like that's the name for, like, the group.
Yeah. It's weird. Anyways, that is this week's team, you guys. Cheech, we kind of started to talk about Fish and whatnot, but going into a week where we are watching a bunch of matches of Red Dragon, what were your preliminary thoughts?
I was looking forward to it because I mean, like, obviously, like, if I had like a bucket list, like, of course, it's a team I want to wrestle, and like, they're still in the world, like, technically, it's a possibility. So I was excited to, go through all their stuff just because obviously, like, I think they're really good, I think they're great.
Yeah, agreed. I was very excited. Clearly, we both have a soft spot and know Bobby really well. But Kyle, over the past handful of years, has been one of my favorite guys to watch, period, paragraph, hands down, whether it be singles or tag. So I was, I was super excited to get down on this one.
Yeah, Kyle, I knew from early on, I could just tell. And now I can't remember. I honestly, there's footage, but I don't know if we actually touched. But there's a Dragon Gate, like USA in Toronto, like pre-show fray or whatever that he's in. Me, Cloudy, Brody's in it or something. I don't know if I ever actually even touch him in the match, but like definitely after that, being in there somewhat rubbing shoulders with him, I was like, wow, this kid's really good. So I knew from early on that Kyle was going to be something.
He's he came from that I guess kind of the Davey Richards school of training and wrestling, where he was kind of very Davey Richards like in the early days. But when he started coming into his own, man, he's like untouchable in certain things.
Yeah, definitely. Once he found his voice or whatever that you might say.
Yeah, holy crap, man. All right, so let's talk about their accomplishments.
They've got to have a good handful, right?
Yeah, they do. Okay, so they're actually only one time NXT tag champs.
Okay, but usually that when you're a dominant team and have a long reign, that's not bad or anything.
No, and it also hurt when he first got to NXT. So I think Kyle has a run with Roddy also, and I think there might be a third Undisputed Era tag team title run that is not specifically the two of them.
Gotcha.
They are three-time Ring of Honor tag team champs.
Yep, they definitely were dominant there. Well, they were dominant.
They are two-time New Japan IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champs.
Yeah, and like, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, like they had two runs there as champs, but like I don't think they had a ton as a team in New Japan, 'cause like I know Kyle did some stuff and they did like junior tournaments and stuff, but like I feel like those two reigns are pretty good compared to how long they were doing that there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they've got a decent handful, but no, they weren't on a crazy amount of tours to consider the fact that they are two-time junior heavyweight tag champs.
Exactly. Yeah, that's impressive for their time.
As you just said, they did win the 2014 New Japan Super Junior Tag Team Tournament.
There we go. Yep.
And in the same year, they won the Ring of Honor Tag Wars Tournament.
Yeah, man, we know it. I mean, obviously that's why we're covering them. We know they're great, but yeah, they were definitely crushing it there for a while between ROH and New Japan before they got to NXT.
And then just last year, they were both the PWI and NXT Tag Team of the Year.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, see how much they accomplished before they got there, but then they get there, and all of a sudden, it's a whole nother level of the world gets to see how great they are.
Yeah, right. And like I said, there was that Fish injury early on in their NXT run. So, and they also, when looking at it, they do a lot of like six man and eight mans because they've got the whole group. They actually haven't had an extraordinary amount of straight tag matches in NXT.
Yep. But yeah, well, I mean, they're like the mini horsemen. That's what they're doing. You know what I mean? They got that. They run with it.
Right. Like everyone likes the tag team of Arn and Tully, but while Arn and Tully were running hot, like with the Horsemen in WCW, they've got tag matches, but not as many as you would probably want there to be.
Exactly. That was the thing. Even when I was looking through, I was surprised when I was going through the network. I was like, oh, I would have expected a little bit more. They definitely had a lot. Let's not get twisted, but You know, I
No, they do.
there were definitely a couple where I ran into and I clicked on it, and then I was like, oh no, wait, this is Strong and O'Reilly.
Yes. Yeah, right. Once again, I think a lot because of injury, and then they just, you know, they pair them up how they pair them up. But definitely, Fish and O'Reilly are the seasoned team of the group. They were Red Dragon, and yeah, let's talk about what matches we watched. What did you dig into, Cheech?
All right, I dug into it. I was able to get some good stuff on, I'd call it like the dark web, but I mean like, not YouTube. On Daily Motion, I was able to find a lot of like New Japan stuff. But like, I got a Lucha Brothers from Wrestle Circus that I was just like, okay, I just got to see them versus Lucha Bros. Just see how that meshes. I got a Jay Lethal and Nakamura from ROH, a Young Bucks from ROH, a Riddle and Gargano versus and on NXT, Gallus on NXT, that was Wolfgang and then Mark Coffey. I got a Nagata and Nakanishi from New Japan. I got a Sho and Yo from New Japan, but when they were young boys, like they were in all black, no knee pads. There was an ROH street fight or like a South Philly street fight or something with the Bucks and Cole and Mike Bennett. A Davey and Eddie versus the American Wolves. I got the Wrestle Kingdom four way with Seidel and Ricochet, Trent and Rocky, and then the Young Bucks. Then I got them versus the Revival from NXT, them versus Trent Seven and Tyler Bate, Grizzled Young Vets, Gargano and Ciampa DIY, and then I ended it obviously inadvertently the most recent one, the Riddle and Dunn from the Takeover in February.
All right. So that's actually not the most recent one.
Oh well, yeah, I know. I mean, okay, I was thinking
Yeah.
NXT big pay-per-view stuff, which it seemed like it was so long ago, and I was like, oh, when was this? And I was like, it was like February. I was like, oh, the world.
Yeah. Right. These last 4 months have been like 4 years.
Yeah, so what's the thing to
So I, as I'm a creep and I start at the beginning. So I went with their first big Ring of Honor match, which was against the American Wolves. They actually only had one Ring of Honor match before that against like the Bravado Brothers on TV, but then they wrestled the Wolves. Then I watched them against the Young Bucks. Then I watched them against Andrew Everett and Cedric Alexander. I watched them from beyond against Team Tremendous. I watched them against the Time Splitters. I watched them against the Lucha Bros, just like you did. I watched them against Cole and Roddy. I watched another Young Bucks one. I watched them against Mustache Mountain. I watched them against DIY. And then I watched them in their actual most recent match. So after that Riddle and Pete Dunne one, they actually wrestled like 2 weeks ago for the first time since then together on NXT against Imperium.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I actually did see that because that's when what's his name? The punter kicks Cole in the face.
Yes, McAfee boots Cole in the face, which literally in writing about that match, hate that that match was just a build to that because the match was a lot of fun.
I know. I was gonna say. I remember watching and being like, "Oh, this match is really good," and now we're getting towards the end, and they're just looking at the other stuff. But I'm hoping we'll get more of that in the future.
I hate to start at the end and then work our way in, but let's start with talking about Bobby Fish's current gray hair situation.
Bro, he's representing, bro. Okay, well, let's get into that. My favorite is in one of the ROH matches, Carino's line is Bobby Fish is the youngest 38-year-old out there, and he's like, I don't really know how to explain it other than exactly how I just said it. He's the youngest 38. See what I mean? And that was years and years and years ago. So yeah, I'm loving him rocking the whole Silver Hawk and yeah.
But what, so you probably know what age was Fish when he started?
Here's the thing. He was always iffy about it. I think he was in his 30s. I think he was like, because I think here's the thing. We were trained by DeVito. I don't think he's all that much younger than DeVito.
Yeah, I mean, I always just knew he was older than us. I didn't know by how much. But listen. He looks great. He moves great. I mean, until this graying of the hair, you could have, I mean, he could have passed for younger than me, last year easily.
Yeah, no, I remember talking to him right before he signed and how he was discussing with them. And he's like, basically, I just had to explain to him, like, eventually, yeah, I'll be 40, but like, my 40 ain't your 40. Like, I love that line. I live by that as an old man, too. I was like, yeah, my 40 ain't your 40. Like, yeah, for 40, that might seem old and decrepit to you, but for me and my body, we're fine.
Hell yeah. He's taking care of himself very well for years and years. Always looks great. Always moves great. Like, with the exception of, like, injuries that have put him down, he's never slowed down. He never, you know, he's always been solid for the last 16, 17 years or whatever it's been.
Oh, come on. I'm pretty sure the first time you probably met him was when he, you know, 450'd his face off and, you know, busted his nose in Rochester a millennia ago. But yeah, he's always had a hard head. Here's the thing. Bobby Fish is a tough kid. He's like that football tough guy who did MMA. Like, he's that tough guy. You know what I mean? And I've, as a man who's wrestled him a bunch, he's got a concrete head. So yeah, he's built for this business. So yeah, him and his age, despite, you know, all the silver hair and the gray hair, whatever you want to call it, white hair, whatever, he can still kick ass. And he did through all these matches. You know what I mean? Like, I was watching, which was the one, the Mustache Mountain, where I was like, oh, it's kind of the same flavor, where you have, like, the young, like, you know, supernova star, and then you have, like, the grizzled vet that's, you know, just slightly older, but, you know, that's his role. And they both kind of, I think he's great for Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. One of the first things I wrote when watching them was that they're not just playing badasses. They are legit badasses.
Yeah, and they don't necessarily play like, look at how tough I am. They just show you. You know what I mean? If anything, they kind of play the other way. You know what I mean? Like, they chicken shit off a little bit more than you'd expect.
Right, but all their strikes are super legit. All their submissions look super legit.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing I wrote. One of their strengths is the, you know, and I call it punch, kick, grapple style. It's super transferable no matter who they're facing. You know what I mean? Like, which it's not hard. Yeah, they're just doing the basics really, really well.
Yeah, I wrote that in the Lucha Bros match because I also had to see it. When things get a little weird, a solid strike or a strike combo can get it right back on track.
Exactly. That was the thing I kept noticing. Like, and then my notes in most of the matches was like, oh, it's competitive. And it's just because their style, like, they're able to inflict it no matter who they're wrestling. And it's just hard hitting basics. So even if the other team's not carrying their end, it's still going to look competitive because they're able to inflict their style on everyone.
Right. What I like is that they have that, like, their strikes are super legit and their submissions look super legit, but they still use like old school tag fundamentals.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Like, they can definitely trip you and take your head off, but no, they're going to lure you into the corner. They're going to grab you and they love to cut that ring off. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. But like, I kept going back to like, they're just like, every part of them, their fundamentals are so sound, whether it be the legit looking like MMA style strike submission, or whether it's like the pro wrestling aspect of it with the psychology of tag wrestling, or just the straight up fundamental like pro wrestling. It's all like across the board. It's all so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say it now. One of my notes is like, they're like the MMA Midnight Express.
The first thing I watched was them and the Wolves.
Yep.
And I think I knew it, but I forgot that they were just the New American Wolves.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically that's what that was kind of their creation too.
They were basically created as a foil for the Wolves because, Kyle was like Davey's protege and Fish was like fresh off of a Noah tour where he was teaming with Eddie. And then they were just like, they were the foil to the Wolves. They were the New Wolves. They had the same, you know, a very similar style.
Yeah. And that's why, and like, okay, did you enjoy the match? I liked it. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm worried matches like that could be too samey, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah. No, I love it. I wrote that I said very much New American Wolves or American Wolves with personality.
Yes. Okay. Let's take that detour right now then. Because they're so good at wrestling, you don't sometimes I feel like you downplay their personalities. And like Kyle definitely has his, and you know, it's a little bit of that creepy Kyle gimmick that he kind of played off of, but it brought it out of him. And then like I don't think Bobby Fish gets enough credit for how crazy a character he is. Like, you know what I mean? He's just loud and outlandish, and like it meshes so well because Kyle can tend to sometimes just be the strong silent type.
Sure. And like I'm not saying like we've known Eddie Edwards for a very long time and know that Eddie Edwards actually has a great personality, is a super funny, fun guy. But when you're watching the American Wolves, you do not get that personality coming across. They are just like, we're gonna hit you and we're gonna fire up.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I feel like Red Dragon's gotten farther because they've embraced the personality aspect more. I feel like the Wolves kind of started to a little bit at the end, but it was a little too late.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. It was interesting to watch, though, you know.
But it is cool how you bring up how quickly that is, because you wouldn't necessarily think though like the Wolves and Red Dragon are like different generations, but you know what I mean? It's almost like it's almost like they upgraded real quick.
Yeah, no. In that American Wolves match, they were pointing out that that match was the Wolves coming back together. They had split for a minute, and that match when Red Dragon first came in was them coming back together. So they really were like, at least in Ring of Honor, like the generation right before Red Dragon.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I feel like usually those like they're those it's a, almost like a generational thing, but it was like, oh no, those two generations clashed real quick, and it was like, oh, look, we got two guys who are Japanese style and fighty fight fight, and it's like, oh, someone figured out an added personality. Oh, let's go with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally agree. So then, after watching like you know their earlier stuff, and then watching some of their like you know with Everett and Alexander, it was good, but it was just like you know it's pretty by the books. They did their thing. Everett and Alexander did theirs. But when they started working with teams like the Bucks and like the Time Splitters and stuff, I love those matches because both teams. It's great when both teams have so many hits to play off of.
Yes, I feel like one of their strengths is they're real good, especially their style. They're real good at setting the table for everything. And if you're a team who's a really good team with high powered stuff, that ending's going to be phenomenal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like, you know, so when they're against a team like the Bucks, they both have so many cool combos. And so like just using those, they could have gotten away in one of those matches with literally just doing all their combos and fun transitions to get into them. But when you take the combo and put a little twist in it, it's so much fun.
Yeah, they're real good about like because their stuff is very well defined, and I feel like
Yes.
that plays into it. Once again, almost like now I'm thinking about it, almost like the Steiners. Like you see the visual, and then you see the work, and it just matches real quick. So it's real easy to just accept anything after that.
Yeah, and their double teams weren't like crazy complicated, where if you just, you know, throw a small hitch in it, any team can fit right in and plug some of their stuff in to like cut off what Red Dragon is doing.
Yeah, and I feel like the fact that, you know, technically they are junior heavyweights, and you know, especially like I noticed in the New Japan matches where it was against other junior heavyweights, like I wouldn't categorize their style as fast by any means, but they can
No.
go just as fast as anybody needs to go, you know what I mean? But eventually they're going to impose their will and they're going to put their pace on the match. But even when they are going fast, okay, the Young Bucks, they only have to go with the ones in Japan, even the ROH matches. Young Bucks are going a mile a minute, and they kept right up with them. But it didn't become like their characteristic. You don't go, oh, the Red Dragon, they're super fast, flippy guys. No, they can do all that stuff, but like eventually you're gonna get to their pace and they're gonna slow it down and beat you up.
Right. And while they like to beat people with the brain kick and the brain buster, the chasing the dragon, I like that they're both such legit badasses that a submission works as a false, but it also just works as a finish.
Oh yeah. Some of my favorite spots were like when they'd get double submissions into other doubled submissions from the other team. And the fact that they could just get away with, okay, there's four guys in a match, two are taken out for some reason. Okay, one somebody's gonna slap on a submission and everyone's gonna buy it.
Yeah, and you had to like, and then there were times I can't remember which match it was. I think it was the Time Splitters. They hit Chase and the Dragon. 1-2, Kushida kicks out. Kyle flows right into that arm bar. Kushida taps out.
Yeah, see that like the one match I watched, the Nagata Nakanishi, that was just like a random house show match or whatever. But yeah, that's how Kyle won. It was him and Nakanishi. And it was funny because the match was mostly marriages, so it was mostly Fish and Nagata and Kyle and Nakanishi basically through the whole match. But yeah, eventually they just go on a big thing. He hits something big on Nakanishi to kick out, and then yeah, right into the arm bar, and he taps clean. I was like, whoa. But then again, I realized, Nakanishi's an elder statesman at this point. But yeah, Kyle tapped him out, no problem.
Sure, but and it's believable when it happens. It's not like I don't know if they hit some kind of big strike, I'll buy it as a finish. Like their double team high low that they do in NXT now. Like,
yep,
I'll buy it. Chasing the Dragon, I'll buy it. Armbar, I'll buy it. One of Kyle's wacky, lariat head kick gimmicks, I'll buy it.
Yeah, it's because he does it so well. You know what I mean? It's funny because now there's so many MMA guys getting into wrestling that you're like, it's funny that Kyle, not quite, you know what I mean, maybe not a world famous MMA guy, his stretches look more legit, you know what I mean?
But I am a person who does not like the MMA style of pro wrestling a lot. I'm not a grapple fuck kind of guy.
But I bet you like the way Kyle does it.
I do. I like the way Red Dragon does it because, like I said, I think it's because of how solid, like, their base fundamentals are pro wrestling, and then they're just so good at the MMA type style where they can grapple you and strike you that, I feel like it's because the wrestling fundamentals almost come first.
Yes, because I feel like they're wrestlers first. I feel like nowadays guys who are doing the whole grapple fuck style are too busy doing that and also trying to be the tough guy that, matches that persona. They're like, oh, no, we're legit. You're going to be able to tell that no matter what. We're going to give you a personality so that we're something different. You know what I mean? Like the MMA style is fine if it's just the thing you do, but if you're doing the MMA style and you're trying to be the MMA tough guy badass, it's gag me. Come on.
Well, also, yeah, some of those MMA style guys who that's their thing. I think their sell can be weird, and you know what I'm saying? Like their feed is a little weird because their base is somewhere completely different that they weren't. What they are first is not a pro wrestler. So those really solid pro wrestling fundamentals are not what comes to their brain first.
Yeah, exactly. Like with this, it like yes, their MMA style is predominant, but I almost think it's like icing on the cake of just well done wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh no, I could not agree more. That's why as I was trying to figure it out while I was watching them, because I was like, man, this is like the best well done like version of that style. And I was trying to come up with why, and I think that's it. I think it's just because they poured the cement first,
Exactly. And once again, like I feel they don't necessarily need to lay it on thick like everybody else does.
Yeah. Well, right. So their NXT stuff is what I finished up with, and I've watched, I watch NXT for the most part, and I have for the last couple of years. But I guess I didn't notice until I started watching them back to back to back that what they do really well in NXT is make everybody else look really good.
Exactly. Yeah, they're similar to the Midnights in that they're gonna get beat up, but when it comes time for them to put the heat on, they're gonna do great because they're legit. You know what I mean? Like, so it's easy for them. Like, they're real good at showing their control in a match. So when they're not in control, it's a good contrast.
Yeah, and they can just get beat up and make the other team look good and take all the cool offense of the other team. because when they take over, they're not going to look bad in that exchange in any way, shape, or form.
Exactly. I wrote that they're real good at changing momentum and then just like imposing their will, as they say in MMA, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. There were times, I think it might have been that first Mustache Mountain match, because that Mustache Mountain match was their first, the Trent Seven and Tyler Bate is their first NXT tag match together. And they let Trent Seven just shine up, or not Trent Seven, they let Tyler Bate shine up like crazy in the beginning. But then when they take over, it's like, oh, okay, here we, like, you know. It was almost like a shine with no dip. They brother didn't even dip at all. It was just all him, and they just took it all. But when they took over, it was like, okay, definitive. They are in control. I'm not even mad that they took all that offense.
Yeah, they're real good at taking stuff both in different ways. Like, I like Kyle does the Weeble Wobble, and then Fishmore is just a flat back guy. But they're real good at getting singled out, like, I like their matches because it's not always just tag, tag, tag. It's a lot of Fish gets taken out by something big on the outside, or Kyle gets taken out by something big on the outside. And then you get to see them show their strengths when they're getting beat up and taking doubles and, you know, countering and things like that.
Yeah. You mentioned Kyle Sell, which is he might be my favorite going out there right now with the Sell. He takes such good bumps. He's got such a great feed and sell. It's and sometimes, like, he for legit badasses, they can make that kind of almost goofier sell still look cool.
Yeah, because once again, like I said, I like the Steiner parallel that I just stumbled upon while we were talking, that once again, they're just so legit that even if they do something that normally would look wacky, you buy it because you're like, no, they've been legit the whole time. Yeah, it looks weird that Kyle ends up when his, you know, seemingly can't control his limbs right now, but you buy it because you're like, well, everything else has been legit as heck. Why wouldn't that be?
Yeah, I kind of thought that. I couldn't get to the bottom of why I thought it, but the Team Tremendous match I watched, they do some goofier stuff, but it doesn't even feel like they're being, it doesn't take away from them at all that they're involved with something like that. Whereas certain guys, you feel like, you know, oh, I don't believe this guy would do that, or that makes him look silly or weak. It makes them look none of that.
That's your difference between them and Davey Richards, unfortunately. You know what I mean? Like, unless Davey has done the goofy stuff, but it's like been over the top, like, look at me, I'm going to be goofy now. But for the most part, he's never going to show his ass, as they say. But Red Dragon were never afraid to look dumb out there.
Right. No, I love it. Like I said, there's something to be said for that, like, Davey Richards style, or like the grapple fuck MMA style. But then you have two guys like Fish and O'Reilly who do both of those things with some personality better than anybody.
Yeah, it seems like, I don't know, someone must have gotten their ear early and was like, listen, you guys are legit badasses. But if you go out there and just play legit badasses, you know what I mean? Like they don't have, like, okay, like the Road Warriors didn't have a wide range of matches they could have.
Right.
But when you're a versatile team, you know what I mean? Compare them to, all right, the Midnights. I mean, it's obviously it's very different, but you know what I mean? Like, there's so many more options on stories you can tell when you have personality. If you're just badasses running through everybody, there's not much of a shelf life. But now look at how long they've been doing it, and they could go forever, especially with their style, because I don't think, like, I think it's rough on the body in a punch kick sense, not in a, like, damaging sense. Like, I think, like, their sure. style has longevity.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. In any of the matches you watch, did you see them be babyface?
I don't think so, no.
One, against Adam Cole and Roderick Strong at Ring of Honor, they were straight baby faces, and it still works.
Oh, I'm sure it does. Especially, well, I feel like at that point they've built up, you know what I mean, when you've been, you know what I mean, they'd been in ROH forever and over. So Yeah, well, they could switch. I'm sure they could play the other side too. But yeah, I'm sure that match, especially versus Roddy and Cole, come on, I'm sure they were able to make that crowd do whatever they wanted.
It was great though, because I hadn't seen it, you know, but then you realize that if their style is so their style actually isn't heel or babyface. What's different from them to be good guys or bad guys is honestly just a little bit of attitude and a little bit of fire, because all they really add as babyfaces is some fire. And with the spots that they have, like, you don't even realize how cool they are with some fire up afterwards until you see them fire up after it, and you're like, oh shit, yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, no. Like I said, their style is super transferable. I meant as far as working another team,
Yep.
but I'm sure it's equally as transferable for heel and face, because it's just really done well done basics. You know what I mean? Like, they're not doing 630s; they're doing exploders and arm bars.
It was a random trip on this thing I wasn't expecting to take, you know, like right in the middle. I was like, oh, wait a second, babyface Red Dragon, interesting. And I was like, oh, they don't ever do it, but that d doesn't mean that they can't, because, like, you know, watch them do this fucking back and forth, bip bip, strike strike, double team, and then fire up afterwards, and it makes it even cooler.
Yeah, no, you know what I mean? We're covering them for a reason. They're great. You know what I mean? I did kind of see a little bit of that now that you mention it in the Nakamura Lethal, because Lethal is part of House of Truth when that's going on. So there is a little bit of that where they get up on him and they fire up because he's the big bad, kind of playing off Nakamura the whole time.
Right. I was just saying, I watched the Mustache Mountain match, and you said you watched that one too. And then you also watched DIY, right?
Yes.
I feel like at that point, so Mustache Mountain, I was like, they look good, but I don't feel like they're, like, you know, they're just kind of putting them over, getting there, playing the hits. They're new here, just kind of getting their feet wet. But, like, man, there's a reason why they were the tag team of the year in 2019. That DIY match is real, real good. And you can tell that they, like, Kyle and Bobby are just hitting their stride. And that's just last year.
I know, right? Yeah, that was the thing. As I was looking, okay, well, yes, I'll finish that thought. As I was looking through, I was like, oh yeah, man, these are a lot more recent than I thought, which unfortunately I think kind of affected my enjoyment a little. Like, I was watching and I was like, man, these matches are all solid, but like, part of me was like, I feel like I enjoyed the Midnight Express ones just for the nostalgia. Like, I almost feel like I held a recency biasy against Red Dragon. Like, as I'm watching, I was like, yeah, this is good, but like, it's new and shiny and like really well done. You know what I mean? It was almost a little disappointing.
You had opposite recency bias.
Yes, exactly. It was funny, as I'm watching, I was like, I'd watch it and be like, all right, yeah, that was another good competitive match. All right, good. And I watch another one and be like, man, that was another really good, like, I don't know, it just wasn't tickling my fancy like the old stuff did for some reason. But yeah, I had recency bias in reverse.
But from watching, you know, their Ring of Honor stuff into their NXT stuff, you know, when they got to NXT, they were still doing their thing and they were good. But man, even just last year, they're really hitting their stride. And for a man who is 48 years old, like Bobby Fish is, I don't know how old he is, but for a man at his advanced age to be hitting his stride right now as a professional wrestler is bananas.
Yeah, I feel like they were a very good tag team before NXT. Then when they got to NXT and when they were part of the Undisputed Era, I feel like now they hit their stride, because now one of the things I was really enjoying is how well they use the fact that they're in a group. Like, anytime Adam Cole was out there, or anytime they'd have a straight match and eventually Adam Cole comes out and distracts the ref this way while Roddy sneaks in from the back. And so it forces them, like, they didn't have to be doing super duper tons of stuff because they knew they were going to outsmart them later. So that's why they could spend the whole match just taking moves, taking moves, taking moves, and then they were going to use their shenanigans and mind games and win. Like, that's what I think upped their game. They were just really good tag team wrestlers, could do that. But now they were also part of a faction doing great tag matches. It just added a whole new wrinkle to their game.
Yeah, and they had that Riddle and Dunn match, and then they haven't had a tag match on NXT until a couple weeks ago when they wrestled Imperium, and Bobby Fish coming out looking real silver, Kyle O'Reilly coming out with a big bushy beard.
Nah, I don't like the beard.
we got a whole new Red Dragon look here.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see. Like I said, I hope we get more Imperium stuff out of them because that was fun. But yeah, I mean, there's, like I said, their style, I feel like they could go forever. But I feel like it's just what WWE wants to do with them. You know what I mean? They could be that team that does go forever, or they could, you know, split them up and then bring them back. Or, you know what I mean? Just depends how they want to play it.
Is there, I gather there's not an Imperium Undisputed Era match on TakeOver coming up then?
There may be. I don't know. I'm not fully aware of the card, the full card.
I'm not either. But if they are, that would be awesome, because then the match with Imperium definitely left me wanting more.
Yeah, and I think that was its design. You know what I mean? And it would make sense since that kind of led to the Cole Pat McAfee thing. They could probably you know what? Thinking now, it probably is on there. Who knows?
Well, I will probably not tune in immediately, but watch it in post if that is a thing.
Yeah, that was the thing. I feel like I missed some of their good stuff from the end of last year and the beginning of this year. So, like, even though I feel like I definitely saw the Broser weight match, watching it again, I was just like, I don't know. Watching it a second time, it hit me better.
So I did watch that one. I remember when it happened. So I didn't watch it this time around. I kind of wish I did. I was like, oh, I already saw this one. I always like to go with matches that I haven't necessarily seen, but I'm pretty sure this one got like almost 5 stars.
Okay. I can believe it. The, what I really liked about it was, it was in a big arena. You know what I mean? It had like a big match feel. They did the big entrance with the sing along thing by Riddle about Bobby Fish and all that stuff. So it just felt really big. So when I was watching, I was like, oh, this feels cool. It's got a big match feel. They did big entrances in front of a big crowd. And then the match was also bonkers too. But yeah, all the surrounding stuff, I feel like also helped. That's what made it even better.
Yeah, it's a 4.75 star guy. So it's about as close as you can get to 5 stars without getting your eyes wet.
Okay, yeah, that works. Yeah, I buy it. It was a hell of a match.
Yeah, they had some. I remember I was looking at some of the, because on Cage Match there's a little match guide and it'll tell you if it got like a star rating. So in Ring of Honor they got a couple 4.5s, a couple 4.25s. Like, you know, they had some good ones with the Bucks and the Wolves and stuff. But I think that Riddle and Dunn one was the tippy top for them.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I would definitely take it as a career highlight.
All right. Whew, this one's going to be tough. How? Oh, wait. Do we do what makes them a great team first? How do we do this?
I mean,
how do
we podcast? It, but let's put it on wax. I say is what I thought makes them great is that they're equally great on offense and defense, and they're able to show, like, they're bad guys. They're able to show that in a completely competent way. Like, yeah, they show their ass a little bit. But once again, we talked about their legitimacy. Even if they do something wacky, you never think, oh, no, they're being wacky or anything. You know what I mean? Like, I think their legitimacy and the fact that they were good on offense, defense, and, as you said, heel or baby, that's why they're great.
Yeah, and we kind of broke it down a little bit ago, but I really think it starts with their basic fundamentals of wrestling, and that their pro wrestling base is so good that all their legit stuff is just a bonus. You know, it doesn't define them. It's just a bonus on these awesome professional wrestlers. Yeah, I think they're the best mix of a submission strike style wrestler with a pro wrestling style.
Yeah, you know how they always like to call it. What is they always like to be really redacted, be like, "Oh, they're very good at a hybrid style." It's like they're good at yeah, they can do MMA stuff too. But yes, I think they are. We'll give it the term. They're the best hybrid style team.
Yes, Bobby Fish can break his face on a 450 tomorrow if you ask him to.
He will. He will. He prefers to just try and break his balls doing that moonsault all the time. But if you want to, oh man, I'm picturing it in my face. He used to throw that, like, he could do a 450 just because he would throw his body so hard.
As
Like,
hard as he
whew.
could.
Yeah, I mean, I forget. Someone else has a 450 like that where it just looks like, oh, okay. And it's a family lineage thing. You let me say this. Xavier had a dope ass 450. He did the same thing. He threw himself as hard as he could and he landed great. RIP, another DeVito trainee. Holla, holla, holla.
Yeah, Xplex all day.
But yeah. Bobby would also do those 450s where it was like, how does he do it? Oh, because he just throws himself as hard as he can into a 450.
Yeah, very, very true. That's why he broke his face. So, that all being said, how on God's green earth would we defeat the Red Dragon?
We would go tit for tat. Like you said, yes, they do MMA stuff, but it's almost like icing on the cake. I think we almost need to rope-a-dope them because here's the thing, all that submission strike stuff, once again, just falls into good old-fashioned pro wrestling, which me and you are great at. And if they want to go into all that shootery stuff, I know roll-ups out of it. So we rope-a-dope them until they're susceptible, and I could pin them out of just about any submission they put me in.
Yeah, I mean, I can I historically I can take a beating, but I'm not sure how many of those strikes I can honestly take before I maybe we get mouth guards. Should I get a mouth guard?
Sure. Well, just to show off how tough we are.
Oh, smart, smart. Is that what makes them tough?
Bro, you ever see those guys? As soon as they get those mouth guards, toughness goes up by 10%.
That's true. I'm gonna get a mouth guard, but I think. Yeah, I honestly don't know. I think we go. I think we can beat them, by scouting them a bit because I think teams who did well against the Red Dragon kind of had their offense scouted. Their offense is pretty, the same for the last, 6 or 7 years or however long they've been together. Like right from the start, no joke. Some of those tag moves are like day one tag moves, which blew my mind. Because they work and so they keep doing them. But I think if we do our homework enough, we can scout and counter well enough, and then like you said, kind of rope a dope them in to sneak in one out. There's no other answer I can give you because me answering that we would defeat them by strength or power or anything else is probably not too much of an option.
Exactly. Like I said, we gotta survive until we can find a way to hopefully they leave an opening and roll them up and catch them when they ain't looking.
Yeah. And hopefully one of them is sympathetic enough to when I start to fake cry when they strike me so hard. I say fake cry, but it'd probably be a real cry.
I mean, I'm just putting this out there. There was a 21-year-old little baby Cheech who may have gone to training the day after his 21st birthday. And DeVito may have thought the best way to make me puke was to have me roll around, aka, do some mat wrestling with Bobby Fish. I fucked him up. I say it. I'll say it. I said 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 it. That's right. He left practice with a hurt rib. I left dehydrated because I puked a couple times. I'm just saying. So, yes, has he gone on from then to get an immense amount of training around the world from world-class athletes? Sure. But a mere 18 years ago or so, I had his number. So I'm going to just dial that number one more time, and we got this on lockdown. All right? I'm going to be cocky about it now.
Sounds good. And if you can get me and Kyle both on a wobbly leg cell at the same time, I think we're cooking with gas here.
Exactly. You two just wobbling in the corner while I'm beating down Bobby. Easy enough.
Perfect. All right. That was the Undisputed Era Red Dragon, Bob the Slob, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly.
I was gonna say somewhere we gotta get a Bob the Slob in there.
Well, I mean, it would be a tragedy if we went this whole thing without mentioning that Bobby Fish, a lot of people don't know this, is the storyteller of our generation.
Whew. Brother, I've been hearing him for years, bro. I knew this. I think I probably told you how good a storyteller he was.
One of my favorite Bobby Fish stories I like to tell. So we're driving back through the night from Pittsburgh, and I'm behind the wheel, and I'm like, all right, I got this. I'm going to go in this gas station and get an energy drink and get myself ready to go. And Fish says, all right, I'll take shotgun. I'll wingman you. I'll road dog this thing out. So we go in. Bobby Fish gets not one, but two energy drinks.
So two. I'm like,
hell yeah. So I start drinking my energy drink. Bobby Fish pounds an energy drink, like, to the face. And I'm like, hell yeah, man. He's like, yeah, man, I got you. Not 5 minutes later, he slams the second energy drink in a row.
The second in a row, people.
Back to back. I'm like, holy crap, that is impressive. He is snoring.
I'm just so happy because the second you mentioned anything remotely about being awake in the car on the road, I go, I know exactly where this is going. That's why I had to hype man you up. That's right, people. Bobby Fish had not one, but two. I don't remember this story, but I just know the man. And I've been on the road. I know this man and what he does. So as soon as you were like, he got not one, but two, I go, I know where this is going. He fell asleep, and sure enough, his ass was asleep.
He pounded him.
I didn't think I was a real man until I was able to exist on 4 hours of sleep, because that's what Bobby Fish did. I always knew him in training. He had like that dude with 9 million jobs and would just somehow never got sleep. And I was like, all right, I'm not a real man till I can operate on 4 hours of sleep like Bobby Fish.
Yeah. The one real tragedy of this world is that not everyone gets to experience a road trip with Bobby Fish, just to hear some of the unbelievable, true, potentially true, sometimes not true at all, but hilarious stories that come out of that man's mouth.
Yes, yes, yes. The world is missing out. But if you watch his promos, you get a glimpse. You get a glimpse.
That's true. I did want to peek into the promos because I do remember Bobby Fish had a lot of solid promo work in the early Red Dragon stuff.
Yeah, yeah, when he had like that fish tank segment and stuff. Yep, yep. I've known that man, and yep, that's definitely him, people.
Oh, yeah. All right. Red Dragon up, Red Dragon down.
Bam, another winner. Another great team in the books.
That was a lot of fun, man. That was a lot of fun. So far, I always like digging into the older stuff, the classics, but sometimes these new teams is like it's a great, like, reminder of what's going on now. You know, we just did Midnight Express, but doing Red Dragon, it's like, it's fun to see like where tag wrestling has come, where it's evolved to.
I was gonna say, yeah, the evolution. Yeah, that was kind of cool, going from an old team to a new team, even though, like I said, part of me was like, meh, whatever, this new stuff.
It's, man, once shows come back, our matches are going to be so weird, because you're going to be able to tell who we watched who we were watching that previous week, depending on if we're doing like crazy double teams or if we're like cutting the ring in half and we're doing double body slams.
How dare you let them know how the sausage is made?
You're like, man, Colin and Cheech are on a weird level right now. They're definitely.
Boy, they really remind me of Stars and Stripes right now. I don't know why.
I have never seen Colin do three jabs, dance around, and then finish it with a big overhand jab.
Oh, my goodness. That'll be great.
For those who follow the podcast, it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Other people are going to be very confused.
Agreed. All right, man. Anything else you want to say about Bobby Fish? Talk trash about his age or his gray hair?
I love him. That's all.
I love him too. Any thoughts on a team for next week? Do I gotta start the hat, or you got some thoughts?
We could discuss, but I could go with the hat too. I was gonna leave it open to you.
All right. Well, I haven't made the hat yet, so we'll have to legitimately discuss the team. But I will make the hat. I need to make the hat.
Not a problem.
All right, we're going to discuss off-air who next week is. And until next week, thank you all once again every week for joining us.
Adios.